master so rich and so sweet. God leads his dear children along where the waters cool flow bathes the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along, some through the waters and some through blood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night seasons and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters and some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night seasons and all the day. Oh, blessed part, oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Some through the waters and some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me, mend me, mold me, and fill me. for thy spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender. We are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. All right. Well, good afternoon. I hope you're doing well. I hope you can hear me okay. Let me know if it's not coming in clear enough for you. But the sound should be okay. The quality should be there. We'll check, though, just a second and see if all of that is coming in. Very good here. I know the music was loud, but just want to make sure that this is loud enough here. Good. Okay. People say, yeah, it's coming in good. Okay. Well, anyway, lots happened here in the last couple days all over the world, right? Could be a little louder, says Peter Fisher. Well, I just turned it up a little bit, and I got to get this microphone a little bit closer to me here. That'll help a bit to get that a little bit louder there. I'm in the red, man. I'm in the red. I don't think I can go any higher here without blasting you all out of here. Once I get going and I get loud, it's going to be too loud, right? So anyway, I hope it's loud enough. And can you pray for our kids, leaders? We Centennial area of Gresham, Oregon. There are real issues here. Yeah. Misty, I'm sure there are a lot of real issues everywhere, and especially in that area there. I could understand that for sure. It's a bad place. A lot of bad places around. We're in the midst of Babylon, a wicked and perverse nation. I'm just getting started here. I haven't even got started yet. So, anyway, it should be loud enough for you, and I think it will be. We're going to talk today about a few things. I want to talk to you about marriage, really. But I want to talk to you about, see, listen, I want you, let me, before I get into this, let me say something to you. I know that these things, like with Will Smith, like I believe the whole thing was fake, Okay, that's my personal opinion. It was a not fake, staged. They're actors. They're staging. However, and I know it's a distraction. Okay? I know it's a distraction. So I'm not foolish, all right? About that. However, I will take the distraction and I will use it for God's glory. Do you get it? See, I'll take it and I'll use it for God's glory. So I'll show you the real truth why these people are nothing but scumbuckets. They're nasty, gross, perverted, disgusting, filthy, abominable, wicked people. That's who they are. They're cultists. They serve other gods. They're vile. They're vile people. And they make millions upon billions of dollars to be absolutely vile and disgusting. So I'm going to show you some things about this and the absolute hypocrisy about it. And this is how I can show you that they're actors. And that's what they do. Okay? So anyway, we'll get to that in a little while. We'll get to that in a little while here. But anyway, and then we'll explain a number of things and what the Bible says about marriage and about everything else. By the way, you know what I'm sick of? Trying to read an article and these rotten perverts have to put things everywhere. It's vexing. It just frustrates me. I got to almost have it on erase all the time and just be like, okay, I got to click the X button and... And it's just they're filthy, abominable, wicked, vile people. And they want to defile you. Right? And the spammers are going to come on and all that good stuff. But that's okay. They'll get the gospel if they stick around long enough. They're going to get the gospel. Amen. So that's what we'll give them. If they want to come and spam, we'll Uncle Phil even showed up, but we took care of him real quick. So here we go. We'll talk about some things here, but let's say hi to everybody. Fabian22 is on here. Teresa, Daryl's wife, Elijah Morgan, Misty Galoff the New. I don't think I can say that. Sorry. Joe McDonald, Elijah Morgan, Joseph Jordan, Gregory Pace, Kate in Orlando. Not to be confused with other Kates that have been on here. My wife is on here. Terry Carter, Mary Teresa, Jody Hammond, Peter Fisher, Carl Winters, Steve. That's not really Steve. Jimmy Britt. Proverbs is even on here. The entire book of Proverbs showed up. Amazing. Terry Carter. Terry Whitley. America Montesadosa. George Kratz. Not to be confused with brats. Hey, you know what? I had some brats the other day. And I had them here in a Ziploc bag so I could cook them later. And my wife put Pastor's Brats on there, and I just started laughing. I said, that says Pastor's Brats. Anyway, it was funny to me. All right, let's see. Rachel Bicey. All right, so Rachel Marshall. Lots of Rachels. Jacob Terry. Leno Paul even showed up. Hey, Leno, how are all those Jezebels doing that hate my guts? Man, they got their own groups. They just got them all over Facebook, and they're like, yeah, that Cooley. Yeah, that Jason Cooley. Boy, they really hate me, man. Woo-wee, those women. Do they get mad at me? Wow. They act like they're, then some of them act like they're my friend, and then behind my back, they're all talking about me, and people send me screenshots of things people are saying. I'm like, I don't care, whatever. I don't care. Let them talk. Let them talk. Let them burn. Make them mad. They'll start burning, right? All right, let's see. Anyway, Brandon Swanson, Kobe Brewster, Elijah Morgan, trucking through. Jimmy Britt, Joe McDonald. There we go. Let's see. Kieran Wilson. Marjorie Fleming. Oh, Bend, Oregon street preacher. That would be Jack. Been watching for a long time. Chad Gonzalez, you've been watching for a long time. I think this is the first time you've ever commented. Where are you from, Chad? How long have you been listening to us? I'd like to know. Real Life with Jonesy. Okay. I just got a new OA system. What is an OA system? I'm sorry, I may not know what that is. You'll have to explain that to me. Leno says, they all hate you with a passion. Yes, with extreme passion. With extreme passion! All right, let's see. Sue Elias. Good to see you on here, Sue. Christina Turner. Apparently, Nicole Kidman had a shocked expressed ready to tweet from before the slap happened. Maybe so. Northwest Indiana by Chicago. I know where that's at. Northwest Indiana by Chicago. You got to get some pizza when you go that way. Chicago-style pizza, for sure. Right there. At least a couple years. All right. What's your thoughts on the Foo Fighters drummer's death? I might talk about that tomorrow on a truck talk. I'll save it for then. Then you'll get my thoughts. Las Cruces, New Mexico. Covered up by Jesuit Freemasons abusing children. Yeah, I'm sure of it. I am sure of it. Gregory 1611 says he hates Chicago pizza. Well, in the words of my next door neighbor, one of my neighbors when I was a kid to his wife, if you don't like it, don't eat it. That's easy. So there. That makes your life a lot easier. Now, doesn't it? All right. Anyway. Moving right along. Brandon Swanson was born in Chicago. Ick Form, did you see Good Fight Ministries Marvel movie? No, I didn't. I did not. I did not see it. Yeah. Nate, that is wrong, not loving deep dish. What's the matter with people anyway? Bet's Pizza is right here in Trenton, New Jersey. George, I will not deny that the East Coast has very good pizza. I like it. But if you like pizza, you have to understand that there are different types of pizza. I love East Coast pizza. Right? And I love Chicago-style pizza. Both of them are very good. And I love my wife's homemade pizza. So there's a difference in going out to eat and, you know, there's no such thing as regular pizza, Gregory 1611. No such thing at all against of regular pizza. All right, so it's okay to have different styles. You don't compare styles, all right? You can compare, like, different restaurants or something that serve deep dish pizza, but one does not compare deep dish pizza with New York-style pizza. Those are not to be compared. Those are two different animals altogether. And you can appreciate both of them. See what I mean? Poppy seed, Czechoslovakian kolache. I don't know what that is. Is that even legal in America? I don't even know what that is. Anyway. So, I suppose we ought to get going here with what we're going to talk about here today instead of talking about pizza, which I can't have for another month until I leave on my trip. Well, I can have keto pizza. So anyway, I like Devani's too. It's very good. Very good stuff. Good stuff for Minnesota. Put it that way. Minnesota. Okay. Gregory, doesn't Gregory 1611 seem awful familiar, like another person that spams us? Doesn't Gregory 1611, doesn't he remind you of somebody that spams us all the time? Look at the things they keep making up. Like, they can't help but, like, stick around. But they say the same things that makes you know, like, who they are. Like, we know who you are. We know who you are. Gregory 1611, we know who you are. You're the same person that always used to ask really creepy questions about my children, which I thought was really weird. And you're the same one that spams all the time and does all that kind of stuff. We know, we can tell by the line of questioning, right? Anyway, because first of all, anyone that's been around at all knows what I think about superheroes. Right? So, anyway. Has God already seen everything that will happen in my life? Yes, he has. Yes, he certainly has. Because God knows the end from the beginning. Sure does. All right. So, I'm done talking to the comment section, and I'm about ready to get to teaching here. Oh, wait. Yeah, well, I'll save that for the end. I'll save that for the end, and we'll get right to it here. Let's see.
G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it. This one, okay. I'm out here. Uh-oh, Richard. Oh, wow. Just smack.
So, that happened, right? That happened, and whether it was real or whether it was fake, it really doesn't matter, to be honest with you. What it does show you is the depravity of man, number one. What it shows you, he made fun of her hair. He made fun of her lack of hair, in other words, basically, right? Walks off a stage and, you know, struts his stuff and everything else and kind of, you know, deals with it in that way, right? That's it. Now, there's some people out there that are saying, wow, he handled his business and everything else. And you know, here's this guy that really cares for his wife and really concerned with her, you know, not being made fun of, and because he made fun of her bald head and all that stuff, right? And said all those things and all that stuff. So then, you know, I find it interesting, though, but I want to show you the hypocrisy of this, because Will Smith, what he really is a complete example of a fraud and a fake and not a real husband, not a good husband. Their marriage is a sham and a joke, right? Their marriage is a sham and a joke. Their marriage is open, which we're going to show here. Here's what this article says. Will Smith has opened up about his and Jada Pinkett Smith's tumultuous marriage ahead of the release of his upcoming self-titled memoir this November. The Hollywood couple, who were married in 1997 and share two children, Jaden, 23, and Willow, 20, made headlines last July after they addressed rumors of infidelity during their marriage on Jada's Candid Talk Show. Now, in an interview with GQ as their latest cover star, the 53-year-old actor has addressed last year's discussion and offered further insight into the period of non-monogamy in his and Jada's marriage. Will confirmed to the interviewer that both he and Jada have, with mutual agreement, engaged in other relationships outside of their marriage, right? So in other words, basically what you have is an open marriage. So let me ask you a question. Do you believe that this man really cares about his wife, or do you believe she really cares about him? What does God say about that? Right? What does God say about adultery? The first command, the first time you see that in the Bible, is thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. The Bible says that adultery is sin. It's the sin of fornication. It's a sin against God. 40 times that word adultery is in the King James Bible. Again, God says, neither shalt thou commit adultery. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. God hates adultery. Jesus said, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. God hates adultery. He judges adultery. The Bible goes on. Jesus talked about that. Paul talked about it. The Bible speaks very clearly. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. God likens that adultery and that to harlotry. They make a mockery out of marriage, and that's what Hollywood does. They make an absolute mockery out of marriage. That's what a Hollywood marriage is. It's absolute mockery. That man does not care about his wife at all. He's not a leader. He's an absolutely horrible father. And people look up to these Hollywood actors and actresses. They look up to them as if they're something great. And they're not. To have another man sleep with your wife and you sleep with another woman, God has an answer for that, what he says about that. Let me get you the verse here. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. God judges. God judges the whoremonger. And the adulterer. First Timothy chapter 1. Verse number 8, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murders of fathers and murders of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. God talks about whoremongers. The same as a whore master. One who practices lewdness is a whoremonger. The Bible speaks of lewdness. 3 times. That word lewd. Lewd women, given to the unlawful indulgence of lust, addicted to fornication or adultery, dissolute, lustful, proceeding from unlawful lust as lewd acts, wicked, vile acts. Lewd. God speaks against those perversions, adultery, fornication. Proverbs 5:19. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine, thine own, and not a stranger's with thee. Let thy fountains be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant row. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And by the way, if these men ever cared for their wives at all, why would they let them take their clothes off in front of people? Right? Why would they let their wives do that? Why would they let their wives be naked around other men if they cared? Why would they let their wives dress lasciviousness and lewdness and be lewd women? It's such fake a trial. And by the way, the rage in him might be real. Let me say this to you. The rage in him might be real. Like, it might have bothered him what that man said. Could have, I don't know. Absolutely could have bothered him. And the reason it could have bothered him is because that would bother a man. When you're not handling things correctly, some things will bother you overly. You'd be overly sensitive to those things, right? And you gotta be out there and you gotta put a front up. God is clear about marriage. Elijah Morgan, some people laugh when they're angry. Some people laugh when they're emotional. Some people laugh. Their response to something is to laugh when they're emotionally triggered. That's legitimate. That's how some people act. I'm not defending him. If you think that, grow up and get some maturity, because I'm not defending him at all. I'm stating the obvious facts. There's no defense there. I'm not giving any defense for his actions. It's just the point is, and by the way, that's not pointed at anybody directly. That was a general comment. I'm not jumping on anybody. It's just understand that generally I'm not doing that. Okay, I'm not defending any of their actions. That's not at all what I'm doing. But anyway, in other words, basically, when you see what the Bible says about this, about marriage, right? You also have to understand that people that are part of Scientology are mind controlled. Scientology is mind control, infused with devils. That's what it is. It's mind control infused with demonic activity. That's what they do. Hang on, I gotta look out here. I gotta let somebody in. Hold on 1 second. That's exactly what it is. So don't lose sight of that. That's in the backdrop, and we might talk a little bit about that. But don't lose sight of that. That's what that is. They're devil-possessed people. That's who they are. They're devil-possessed people. Right? They push an agenda. They have devils in them. And they do the bidding of their Father in heaven. Their marriages are a mockery and a sham. They're not even real. I'll show you that by other things. He's no father and he's no man. And if you think I'm picking on him, you're right, I am. I'm picking on everything that man stands for. And everyone like him up there in Hollywood. I'm picking on all of them. Because that's the sham. That's, if you watch their show, if you watch her broadcast or her red line thing, whatever she does, they are pushing perversion. They are pushing confusion. They are pushing wickedness. That's what they're doing. Oh, we're going to look at it, believe me. We are going to look at it. All right, let's see here. We're going to get into more scriptures too. Let's see here. Next one I want to do. Is not that one. Where did I put that? Oh, it's here. Here it is. Now I got my sheet back. My little cheat sheet here. Actually, let's get into what the black ministers have said. How about that? How about we look at that first? And then we'll get into the rest of it about him, okay? Then we'll get into the rest of it, all right? So here we go. This is on CBN News. Ministers respond to Will Smith's Academy Awards slap seen around the world, giving nonviolent advice. Pastors and authors across the country are responding to the scene that played out on global television Sunday night when actor Will Smith stepped up on Academy Awards stage and smacked comedian Chris Rock. Well, I'll be honest with you. The awards were up 53% of viewership because all these awards have tanked over the last 3 years because nobody really cares. Right? But here's the thing that you want to understand about this. I wouldn't have watched it either. I didn't watch it, and I don't care to watch it. I don't watch their movies. I don't support them. But I saw this being pumped in the news, and I thought, this will be something good that I can use. Right? Pastors and authors across the country are responding to the scene that played out on global television Sunday night when actor Will Smith stepped up on the Academy Awards stage and smacked comedian Chris Rock. As CBN's Faith Wire reported, the unfortunate moment unfolded after Rock joked about Smith's wife. While laughs and giggles followed, Pinkett Smith looked unamused and Smith started walking up the stage toward Rock. That's when he assaulted the comedian and walked back to his seat. Smith also reportedly yelled from his chair after hitting him. And then while some have defended Smith, saying he was right to defend his wife, others said he should not have resorted to violence. Several pastors took to social media to respond to the incident. One guy, I don't know who he is, the teaching pastor at Cornerstone Church in Atlanta, Georgia, tweeted this. What Will Smith did last night was totally inexcusable and completely understandable. I think those roads intersect. I'm surprised how many takes make it seem like we have to pick a side. Maybe that's a product of the polarized age we live in. That's a lot to unpack. So stop there. These guys totally ignore. Wait, this guy lets men sleep with his wife. This guy lets his wife go on stage naked. This guy does not care about his wife. And you're an idiot. You're just a real fool. Try not to get distracted in the comment sections by things. It doesn't even matter. Don't even worry about it. It doesn't even matter. Just keep moving along and follow this. It'll help you more than arguing with people in the comment section. It won't do you any good. Dr. A.R. Bernard tweeted, last night we saw the conflict between the higher and lower self play out in international television. Will Smith, at our highest moments in life, we are most vulnerable. The post appears to have been removed. Last night we saw the conflict. Okay, that's what he said. A soft answer turned away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. He needs a Bible. He didn't have one. Anyway, help that guy. Let's see. Mike Edmondson, The Power of Unearned Suffering, wrote this. We all just watched a physical assault play out right before our own eyes, and the person who did it was comforted as if he were the victim and talked about as though it were an act of love. Right? See how these guys miss everything? See how they miss everything? Right? Disrespecting black women. I think you disrespected your black woman by letting her sleep with men and you sleeping with other women. I think that's how you dis... letting your wife stand up naked on movies and showing her body off to the whole world. I think that's how you did it. How does anybody miss that? See how they get you to pick a side between all of this? And I'm like, they're all devils. They're all wicked. If your wife was sick and saw her go through what she went through and someone made a joke in her, to her in that context, what would have been the best way to handle that? I don't know. Not have your wife there? Not have your wife dressed like a slut? Not have your wife pimped out? Right? I don't even have to deal with any secret Masonic stuff. I'm just going to deal with the plain facts that are right in front of my face. I'm not denying nor confirming that any of those things are there because I haven't even looked at it. And quite frankly, it's not the main lesson that's there. The main lesson are the practical lessons of life. I'm not against exposing the Masonic order. I do it all the time and all that stuff. But you know what? You can call it a Masonic ritual. You can call it whatever you want to. But let me just tell you, it's a mockery of marriage. That's what it is. It's teaching people what marriage is. It's blaspheming God's name. It's blaspheming what that is. I mean, it really doesn't matter what Masonic thing they were. That really doesn't even matter. Because half the people are never going to get that. What they are going to get is about marriage. What they are going to understand is the practical lessons that are there for your marriage. That's the practical. I'm not against delving into some of that stuff. But honestly, if you focus on that, your marriage will be a stinking sham too. Your marriage will be a mess too. Because there's lessons right in front of your face that you need to work on. Right there, right in front of us. Just the mockery of marriage, the mockery of family, all of it. And that these people are looked up at and they're despicable people. The Bible says the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. And that's who these are. Chris Rock? No, I don't feel sorry for him. He's a wicked, sick pervert. And no, I don't feel sorry for Jada Smith. She has no integrity. In that sense, I feel sorry for their souls, that they're deceived. But let's make the main thing the main thing. Let's not lose sight of the lessons that are right before us. The lessons that are right in front of us. The most important ones. I mean, we know they're all actors, right? They're playing their part for the Antichrist. They're all actors in the Antichrist play. Right? But look at what's being played out before you. That's my point. Even more ways Will Smith could have stood up for Jada nonviolently. Asked Jada what she wanted. Really? You think she... You ask your wife what she wanted when it comes to right or wrong? Like, where's the leader at here? This person says, I went to bed thinking about Chris. That man got open hand slapped in front of the world and remained professional and even humorous. That takes incredible humility and self-control for any man, let alone a human, not to get their lick back. Think about that. Who is this? This is the author of the book, Gay Girl, Good God, and Holier Than Thou, tweeted. She tweeted that. So these are supposed to be Christian leaders and black Baptists, or not Baptists, but black religious leaders, right? These are the black religious leaders that are supposed to be standing up telling you what is right. Never mind, not one of them mentions the mockery of marriage that has taken place with these two yahoos in the first place, and the absolute horrible, disgusting, putrid way they've raised their children. Right? He detailed his marriage to an intimacy coach. What in the world is an intimacy coach? By the way, listen to what he says. What the coach was doing was essentially cleaning out my mind, letting it know it was okay for me to be me and who I was. It was okay to think Haley is fine. It doesn't make me a bad person that I'm married and I think Haley is beautiful. What's he talking about? Well, first of all, he's talking about Scientology. He's talking about counselors in Scientology, right? That's what he's talking about. He's talking about somebody mentally going through his past and clearing out his past. That's Scientology. It's also witchcraft. But that's what they're doing. See, you have to do all those things when you don't have Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you get saved by the grace of God, you are made new. Right? And Paul instructs Christians in how to deal with their past. In Philippians 3:13. Right? Says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. He's pressing toward the mark. You're not focused on the past. No one, you know, Satan's lie is to try to manipulate your past, erase it from your mind, clear it out, right? To clear it out, right? That's what it's supposed to do. That's what they're designed to do. That's what they're designed to do. That's what L. Ron, and I'll show you that. I'll show you what L. Ron Hubbard, and I'll show you a little bit of that if we have time here. We'll get to a little bit of it. I'll explain it to you. But that's what it is. And that's what that intimacy coach was doing. Same thing. Well, what else is like that? Rome, the confessional, right? Rome, the confessional. That's what Rome does, right? They talk you, they have you confess your sins to a priest. You got to confess your sins to the priest in order for that priest to forgive your sins. They say things like, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Why is that? Because they don't have forgiveness in Jesus Christ. See, forgiveness is found in a man. The man is Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and he was buried, and he rose again from the dead. Jesus Christ paid for my sins. And that makes me want to live holy. It not only makes me want to live holy, holiness is imparted unto me and imputed unto me by Jesus Christ. They don't have the Lord. They don't have forgiveness of sins. The Bible tells the Christian if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's why Will Smith had to go to an intimacy coach. He doesn't have Jesus. He doesn't have the Lord. So then it talked him into... Right? She's like a little witch is what she is. She's basically a witch. Jada never believed in conventional marriage. Jada had family members that had unconventional relationships, Will revealed. So she grew up in a way that was very different than how I grew up. We have given each other trust and freedom with the belief that everybody has to find their own way, he added. And marriage for us can't be prison. And I don't suggest our road for anybody, but the experience of the freedoms that we've given one another and the unconditional support to me is the highest definition of love. That's not unconditional support, you pervert! Right. So they were getting into fights and arguing about each other. Our marriage wasn't working, Will explained, so we could no longer pretend. We were both miserable, and clearly something had to change. Right? I actually sat down and had a conversation with Will. Due to the transformation from their marriage to life partnership, then they have spoken on several times and not involving romanticism, he gave me his blessing. He gave his blessing for that man to sleep with his wife. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'd want to beat 7 different colors of dookie out of that dude's face if he tried to sleep with my wife. I'll just be real with you. I ain't even kidding you. I ain't even joking. That's just real. That's as real as it gets right there. The Bible calls it a spirit of jealousy. Right? But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, guys, and I'm not trying to pick on you, but if you're not careful, you're going to miss this whole thing, and the only thing you're going to get out of this is the Masonic Order and all those other things, and you're going to be focused on all that stuff, and you're going to miss the real life lessons that are here. The real truth of what is here that you need to grasp hold of. About real biblical manhood and about real biblical womanhood, about real biblical marriages, about what is right and what is wrong. People can get too carried away and miss what's important. Miss what's important. And the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he'd be jealous of his wife, and she'd be defiled. If the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he'd be jealous of his wife, and she'd be not defiled. So there's a lesson there. Or when the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he'd be jealous over his wife, and shall set the woman before the Lord, and the priest shall execute. This was in the Old Testament. But there is a spirit of jealousy that was there. There ought to be that jealousy that a man has over his wife. It's a real biblical jealousy. And it's not sinful. He ought to be jealous over his children, jealous over his wife, and guard and protect his wife and his family. That ought to be part of their, that ought to be part of their life. It ought to be. Here's something funny. Not funny, but ironic, I guess you could say. Here's two people arguing about the devil that are both lost. Isn't that interesting? Tearful Will Smith reveals what Denzel Washington told him about the devil right after he slugged Chris Rock at the Oscars. Now, Denzel Washington is a lost little heathen on his way to hell. He isn't saved. But he's going to give him some knowledge there, right? They're both going to talk about their knowledge about, oh, his words on the devil, of course, ring true, right? Oh, Denzel said to me a few minutes ago, at your highest moment, be careful. That's when the devil comes for you, Smith revealed. You mean it wasn't when you were like having an open relationship with your wife and sleeping around with a bunch of women and she was sleeping around with a bunch of men? And you gave her permission to do that? And you had that absolutely horrible and disgusting example in front of your children? Right? No, but Hollywood's going to put its religious spin on things, right? Oh, and Tyler Perry! Good old Tyler Perry's going to come out, and he's going to be the black handler, like with Bishop T.D. Jakes, right? Remember that? Oh, Tyler's going to give him some spiritual advice, right? Here's Tyler Perry up here giving him some spiritual advice, right? Now Tyler Perry's going to come in, right? Guy that dressed up like a transgender, guy that's made billions of dollars. Peter Fisher. I don't believe that anybody in Hollywood is saved. I don't believe anybody is. Any of those people are in Hollywood. I don't believe any of those Hollywood people are even saved. I do not believe that. You can't continue to do things that are absolutely antichrist and live your life absolutely antichrist and claim to be saved. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. I think they fake it real good. I think they make money off of it. Right? The Bible says, come out of her, my people. Right? Come out of her, my people. But he's a billionaire, so they've all made a lot of money off of it, right? That's what these people do. That's who they are. Right? And Tyler Perry's just as wicked. By the way, just remember, this. Don't forget this.
Babe, I pray the blood of...
Here we go.
Would you come tell what the Lord told you?
God bless you. It's caught me a little off guard, Bishop. Three or four days ago, I called. I was at Manpower. And being blessed, wrote my check out. I said, you know, I didn't have my checkbook when I got to Pastor White's. When I got to woman that I lost the night before, and Pastor White said, you know, write a check for $113,000 for those of you who can. Write a check for $113 for Psalms 113. And I wrote a check for $113,000. And I admit, my intention was to just leave the check and bless God. Because, see, I love to give. I've been a giver all my life. And when people have given to you and sown into you and God has touched them and given you favor. Because, see, when you have favor with, come on, somebody. See, they don't understand it where I come from. They don't understand it in Hollywood. But I'm going to tell you something about the blood of Jesus.
There he goes, getting into his acting right there. There he goes. Good actor.
All of my life, you know, my mother, she didn't have much to give me. She didn't have millions of dollars. She didn't have some legacy, but she had Jesus. And she taught me about that God. So I didn't even.
And she taught you how to dress like a woman.
Know that he was trying to build this youth center. I didn't even know it, but I know how important the youth are. So we were sitting in the service and I leaned up toward him and I said, I've just been touched to give $1 million. So as
man, Ellie's gonna start dancing, you see her? Woo!
So when you got up here and you said $1 million, I said, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know I heard your voice. Hey!
Well, here he goes.
I'm going to tell you right now, when you hear the voice of God, you move. Don't worry about what nobody says to you. Don't worry about what it looks like. Don't worry about your enemy. Don't worry about your hater. He will bless you. He will lift you. He will give. Sometimes you spend too much time worried about your haters. You spend too much time worried about people talking about you. But what you need to understand is that the Bible says in order for you to be blessed, your haters have to be present. How do I know that? The book of Psalms says he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So in order for me to eat, they have to be present. So God bless you, Bishop. I pray right now that you will continue to do everything you're doing. I pray his anointing will stay upon you. I pray the power of God all over you. I pray his favor. I pray the blood of Jesus will come upon you right now. Keep you in his care. God, I thank you for your blessings.
That's equivalent to being on the top rope and somebody dropping an elbow with the finishing move on top of you. That's what he just did to him. Okay? And he can't move. He's like, I just got anointed. The anointer got me. So he got the anointer. Oh man, here she comes out. She's gonna preach now. Jezebel showed up now. That spirit of Jezebel came in there. Now watch
somebody
it.
Somebody give God some praise. He's pushing that baby out.
Man, see that belly? Did you hear what she said? She said he's pushing that baby out. Let me back up just a little bit, okay?
Got some praise.
There it is.
He's pushing that baby out.
Right there, that baby.
Come
in that belly.
He's pushing that baby out. Somebody holler, push. Push. Now come on in, please.
Now be careful. You're going to get. Never mind. I'm going out. There you go. So that is T.D. Jakes. So when T.D. Jakes tells me that he's going to straighten out Will Smith, I already know they're all from the same religion, Antichrist. Just like T.D. Jakes is Antichrist. Okay? They're all the same. That's who they are and that's what they are. Okay? Now, let me go back to here. Let's talk about how horrible of a father this man is. Like, if he really cared about his wife, he would actually be a good father. Instead of his son walking around wearing dresses wherever he goes, right? This is his fashion statement, is to walk around and wear dresses. Now, you want to talk about absolutely confusion. Absolute confusion. There is absolute confusion. See, let's see, let me get you the oh, I'm looking for the right verse. Here we go. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man wear, put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. All right, now, this is where I get in trouble with you. This is where I make you mad, and you're going to stop listening to me now. Right? This is why I preach against women wearing pants. This is why I preach against women dressing, having a problem with Jaden Smith, right? But they don't have a problem with them dressing like a man. They don't have a problem with that, but they have a problem with him doing that. Right? Well, if you got a problem with this, then you should have a problem with that too. Right? You should have a problem with that too. And you should want to glorify God and dress like a woman. You should want to identify with a woman if you're a woman. You should want to look like a lady. Just like you would when you walk down that aisle and you get married, you wear a long flowing white dress. Why? Because you want to look like a lady. And that's the same thing that you should do now. Now, if you think I'm crazy, which you might even be mad at me at this time. But what you should remember is that I'm consistent. Right? You should remember that I'm consistent. I have a series on biblical modesty. Now, it is on YouTube as well, okay? It is on YouTube. But it's also on sermon audio. The first one is called The Naked Truth, the biblical definition of naked. The second one is Biblical Modesty, the Origin and Language of Clothing. The third one is Should Christian Women Wear Pants? Biblical Guidelines for Modest Clothing, What Should I Wear? Question and answers, objections and answers refuted. Okay? So all of those things are in there, and you could understand systematically why I teach what I do through the scriptures. You may not agree with me. You may believe I'm wrong. I would ask you to prove me wrong from the Bible, and I would ask you not to say anything bad about Jaden Smith ever again. And you should disagree that it's okay for him to wear dresses and there's no difference in clothing. No, men never wore skirts. Men wore robes. And they girded up their loins. And they had breeches. And women did not have breeches, or what we would commonly call britches. But all of that's in that question and answer. And here's what I find. Men will be too scared to, Christian men will be too scared to address their wives about this. And two, women get angry when you talk about it. But you have to ask, why would you be angry? Why? Why? Why would you be angry? And who wants to identify with the world and the way the world's going? No, I don't think there's any such thing as feminine pants and masculine pants. I do not. I do not. That's like saying there's a masculine dress and a feminine dress. And I can wear the masculine dress. Because it's masculine. Not at all. And no, I don't believe you're going to hell if you're a woman that wears pants. I just believe you're wrong. I just believe it's wrong. I believe from the scriptures that it's wrong. And by the way, those issues have made a lot of women mad at me. And a lot of husbands mad at me. Both of those issues have made them angry with me. But I won't change what I believe is found in the Word of God and those principles of dressing. I won't do it for Jaden Smith. And I won't do it for your wife or your daughter or your friend or some listener on there. I won't do it. I won't change it. And I won't compromise it to get along with somebody or to have somebody support my ministry or have anything else, because I have to answer to God for that. And I'm going to be consistent and I'm going to show the truth. And I'm not going to complain about Jaden Smith while women do the same thing and nobody cares. I'm not going to do that. I'd be a hypocrite. You know what you're being if you have a problem with him wearing that? A hypocrite if you do it yourself. Right? If you accuse me of anything, you can accuse me of being consistent. You may not agree with me, and you may believe I'm wrong, but you won't be able to accuse me of not being consistent, right? Because I consistently believe what I do, and I practice it. Let's see if I can find that. Here's this one. I wish I could find. I did a PowerPoint on this. It was about men and women, and I don't know where it is. I think it's in the feminism series. Let's see. Let me see. I don't know, but there's a lot of good ones here on that. But here's the evil fruit of feminism.
Yourself.
And this whole series right here on feminism. is on here, and you can find that. I've taught on it for years. I've taught on biblical dressing, feminism. You believe I'm wrong, but let me ask you a question, Javier. How much have you studied it? How much have you studied the issue from the Bible? How much have you looked at it, biblical modesty in the scriptures? How many years have you studied biblical modesty? What I can't figure out is why would a woman ever want to look like the world anyway? I don't understand. Like, when you know what a lady is, why wouldn't you want to just dress like one? I don't understand that. Why is that such an idol to hold on to? Why is that such an idol to hold on to for women? And why is that? It's really interesting to me when women fight that modesty issue, or people fight that modesty issue of women. It's really interesting to me why they would do that, why they would want to do that. I for the life of me, I don't understand that. If you study, go watch that modesty series and go watch the feminism series and hear it out. Hear it out. A lot of it's people don't know. So I'm not picking on women that don't know. And I didn't call them a bunch of whores, and I didn't say they're a bunch of sluts, and I didn't say anything like that. And I'm not gonna, because I don't believe that. I believe they're just plain wrong. Just wrong. You could be wrong and not have any nefarious motives. Right, people used to have that saying, who wears the pants in the family? And now no one knows. Both of them do. But anyway, look, I'm not mad at anybody. I don't hate you. I'm not angry with you. Right? I'm not mad at anybody. Okay? I'm not telling you I don't want you around. Or if you walked into our church tomorrow and you were a woman and you had pants on, not a person would say a thing to you. They would shake your hand. They would be kind to you. They would treat you with respect and love, and they would care for your soul, just like I do now. But I'm going to tell you the truth, right? I'm going to tell you the truth, because I got to answer to God for that. But anyway, I can't explain that on one video, right? About all that. That's why I've taught extensively through the scriptures on that subject. Okay? So, it's because I know I have to answer to God one day. Let's see, what is this one here? Okay, now I want to show you this. Here's this father, right? Everybody skips this. This is the evil fruit of all that.
It's interesting. I was watching this film and it made me think about family. Mm-hmm. And I thought about your son, Jaden. You've been so supportive of him playing with fashion. Mm-hmm. But a lot of other parents out there would flip out, especially fathers. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have to parents who have sons that might wear a dress or play with gender norm?
That I don't know. Might wear a dress. Yeah.
So see, they just use comedy to sell it. Psychobabble comedy.
First of all, I don't give parenting advice per se, because it's such a unique task. It is the great.
Well, that's good, because I've looked at who your children are, and that would be really bad advice to take. That'd be really bad advice. Like, that kid doesn't even, like, know what it means to be a man.
It's human task to, you know, render a human being into the world. And if you're not sitting there...
But you have this, by the way, what you have with this young man is you have this Baphomet. Look who their god is. This is a Baphomet picture. You have the hair, you have the man, you have the manly type muscle there in that thing, and then you have the dress, and then you have the shoes, and then you see what I mean? It's Baphomet. It's Baphomet. That's what it is.
With that child, it's really hard to give advice. I can say what I, you know, do with my children, that I feel that.
And by the way, isn't it funny how they have the token two kids, like all the New World Order couples do, whether they're in Hollywood or whether they're in the White House, they always have like the token two kids. It's like the token two children. Always got to have the token two.
The greatest gift that I can give my children is the freedom to be who they are.
Okay, so let me stop here and let me correct this. Your children, I'm going to show you something from the Bible here. I want to help you. Okay. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Children come with zero discretion. Children have no discretion. Well, what is discretion? Let's look at that. Prudence or knowledge and prudence, that discernment which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct and proper, united with caution, nice discernment and judgment, directed by circumspection, liberty or power of acting without other control than one's own judgment, disjunction or separation. Okay, children have no discretion. If you leave decisions up to children to make, they'll make bad ones. You raise them to get them to a point. You give them knowledge. You give them instruction. You give them discretion. You teach them discretion. You teach them that. You teach them discretion. Right? That's what you teach them. They don't have it. They don't come with it. It's not already equipped in them. Do you understand that? They don't have it. Again. Some of you must not have children, so it doesn't matter to you, but I chuckle at this in the comment section, and I should just ignore it, but it just bothers me because there's so many things here that are necessary and for your own good, and we're worried about spooky things from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I'm sorry, it just bothers me. Maybe it bothers me because I'm tired and I need to go on vacation. Maybe that's what it is. But it just bothers me because people will miss the very things that will help them to grow. They'll miss that for some mystical thing. Anyway, I'll get back to it here. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying. Their children are not taught discretion. By the way, somebody asks for prayer for their children and for that, but you know what? You need to pray. Pray without ceasing for your children. But you better be teaching them. You better be teaching them in situations. You better be teaching them Bible commands, principles of life, and discretion through things that they cannot control. You can't change the world in that sense. So you've got to teach your children how to navigate through this world and use discretion. Right? That's what the Proverbs are for. People say, oh, there's not a training book for children. Yes, there is. It's called the Bible. And it's called the Book of Proverbs. To give subtlety is to teach them to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. To teach them to be wise. To teach them to have discretion. You instill that into them. They don't come with that. They come unlearned. They come ignorant to things. They come driven by their own passions and desires and wants.
You know, I feel like a lot of times, you know, when I was growing up, I would see parents do where you force a child to be what you want them to be, you know, and as a parent, if.
So what he's saying, you force a child to be what you want them to be. No, you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You teach that child. And you mold that child into what God wants them to be. But they don't do that. Right? You train up a child in the way he should go. That's what you do.
If it's an oak tree, I want it to grow as an oak tree. I'm not going to try to force it to be an apple tree, you know. So Jada and I are very serious about finding what they are and encouraging them to be what they are.
Finding what they are. Well, one is a boy and one is a girl. So you're to raise one as a boy and one as a girl. But the roles are like flipped. By the way, let me tell you something as a Christian parent. If you're raising your daughters to be self-sufficient, to grow up and get a job and make money and do this, you're raising your daughters wrong. I'm just telling you that. You're raising them wrong. Christian men and women are to raise their daughters to be wives. Mm-hmm. To be godly daughters. And to be godly wives. And you're to raise young men to learn to be leaders. Godly leaders. Children don't know what they're supposed to be. That's why they're to be trained. That's why they're to be taught. Not given over to their whims and passions, but trained and taught. This man isn't a leader. This man isn't a father. This man isn't a husband. Everything that God brought him into the world to do, he does none of it. And if you're not careful, you'll be the same person. You'll be the same way. You'll be the same way if you're not careful, right? if you don't raise your children the way God intends them to be raised. If you raise your boys and girls the same. If you raise your boys right? If you raise your boys like girls, or you raise your girls like boys, and you don't show them the distinction and the difference, right? And he didn't show them that. And that's why they're confused. We want them to figure out what they are. What they are is a boy and a girl. And they were supposed to be trained to be a young man and a young woman. Not whatever they felt like they were. This is no real man. Right? But I'll tell you what. Here's the thing. If Christians follow these same principles, they're going to teach their children the same way. More than ever, do our children need to see consistent biblical roles lived out. They need to see a father that is the head of the wife and the head of the family. They need to see a mother that is not a co-equal or partner with him, but is his helpmeet and his wife that she follows. They need to see feminine, God-fearing, modest women. They need to see masculine, strong men that lead with the scriptures. They need to see a man as a leader and a woman as a follower. They don't need to see loudmouth Jezebel women. Christian homes must have women that are modest, shamefaced, with sobriety. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Ephesians 5. I'll tell you what, husbands, you know, here's the thing. Pastors don't want to preach on the roles. That's why you have so many, families that are destroyed out there, come from Christian homes, and they wonder why their children don't make it. And their children grow up and change their religious affiliation, so to speak. Which means they were never converted by the Spirit of God and by the power of God. And the examples that they had in front of them were horrible examples, inconsistent with the faith. Or they're just rebellious children. That could be it too. Right? The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as is unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. But we got so many men today that just send their wives to work to go make money for some other man. Right? We send wives and send our daughters to colleges and to careers and everything else. Right? Christians. Not knowing the roles of the sexes, not knowing what God has said were the roles of the sexes. So we're just like the world, a blasphemy. Right? The Bible says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. See the difference there? The husband's to love his wife, and the wife is to reverence the husband. That reverence. By the way, that reverence is 13 times in the King James Bible. You know what that reverence means? Love. Respect. Reverence. See that she reverence. Let's see. First Peter 3:6. For after this manner, actually, likewise you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair or the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in old time the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Yeah, Jody, you don't have a husband. You have to work. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. You don't have a choice. You got to take care of yourself. There isn't a husband to take care of you. That's the way it goes. And by the way, I tell every woman in this, I have women in this church that have to work. They don't have husbands. They don't have fathers to take care of them. They have to work. Right? So I tell every woman that's in this the same exact thing. Right? There's no choice. Maybe someday the Lord will give you a husband that'll take care of you. Right? But until then, that's what you have to do. I'm talking about... men, Christian men, that send their wives to work and that won't work hard enough themselves. Right? That a man won't take care of them. direct verses. It's called Being a Keeper at Home, That the Word of God Be Not Blasphemed. You want to see it? I'll show it to you. The Bible says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. To their own husbands, being home, being surrendered to their husband and him taking care of them, of her. That's what the Bible says. To her own husband, right? To their own husband. Not to another, not to another man, but surrendered to their own husband. Very clear. Husbands are to love their wives. Husbands are to be providers. Husbands are to take care of their wives and take care of their children while the wife is at home. And if a man is married and won't do that, then he's causing the word of God to be blasphemed. Right? That's what he's doing. And that's what she's doing. Causing the word of God to be blasphemed. So, that's scripture right there. That's the Bible. That's what God's word says. But if you don't have a husband, that's the way it is, right? That's right. 1 Timothy 5:14, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. You know why? The Bible warns of it. Verse 13. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, also in busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. That's what women do when they're not busy at home doing the things that they're supposed to be doing. I will therefore the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. That's the example of the scriptures. That's how God made that. That goes back to the garden. Eve would take care of the children. Adam would till the ground. Eve would be in the home. Right? Eve would be in the home. Right? Right? Adam would be out in the world. He would work in the world. He would toil in the world. He would labor in the world. That's what he would do. She would be in the home. She would guide the children. She would raise them. She would guide the home. Put all her heart and mind and affections into her husband and in her home. That's what she would do. Right? That's exactly what would happen. But today you have rebellion to that. Today you have Christians rebelling against that. Or Christians that don't know what the Bible says about the order of the sexes, about the roles of the husband and the wife, about the roles of the father and the mother. They're totally ignorant of it. And it looks exactly like Will Smith's marriage. That's the real slap to the face if you really want to know the truth of it. Right? That's the real slap, isn't it? Because what it teaches and what it shows is rebellion to God's order. Rebellion to what God says in his word. Somebody said, I have heard that the cost of living has skyrocketed, that a woman has no choice but to go out to work to support her husband as she doesn't earn enough. As he doesn't earn enough. Well, then maybe he should work harder and have less. Because that's not true. Because I have a church full of men that work. I have a church full of men that work. There's 10 men in this church and every single one of them work. At least 10 men, more than that. But every single one of them work and every single one of them make a living. And all of their wives are at home and none of them are in the world working. And all of them are at home taking care of their children. All of them. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. It's called being a man. It's called manning up and doing what's necessary to take care of your family. That's what men do. They don't send their wives out to do it for them. Just like I can't be a mother to my children. I can't be their mother. I can't. I can't do what their mother does. I cannot guide the home like she can. I cannot raise the children like she's been gifted to. Why? Because God uniquely fit her to do that. I can't do that. Right? I can't. So I do what God's called me to do, and she does what God called her to do. That's how it works. That's Bible. And by the way, God's way works. God's way absolutely works. And if you think it doesn't, then you don't have faith. You don't have faith. Because it takes faith to have your wife come home and fulfill the role that God has for her. Right? That takes faith. That takes faith. You believe God. Every man in this church has done that. When they came to this church, not every man, some of them didn't have their wives working, but some of them did. They learned the truth from the scriptures. They saw it from the Bible. It was preached from the Bible. They learned it and they obeyed it and God blessed them. There isn't one man in this church that God hasn't blessed his obedience in that issue. Their children are blessed. Their children are blessed. Their families are blessed. Right? Why is that? Because of obedience to the Lord. That's why. God blesses obedience, and he blesses his way. And your children, your home will be blessed when you follow the Lord. Instead of the mockery of this marriage of Will Smith and Jada and their dysfunctional family, Hollywood family. We don't even have time to get into Scientology. I got to go. Anyway, let me give you an update here. I'll give you an update here real quick on the building project. We got half of that wall done. We had to hook up a lot of electrical, so that took us a while on Saturday. Today, I got a door. I got the door. I got the cameras in. They're not installed yet, but the cameras came. The door came. I picked up the door. Picked up some other supplies to wrap to insulate the door or insulate the walls and everything of our project, of our studio. Right? God has blessed us there with that. We're waiting on the carpet to install the carpet. I'll have to pick up Scientology later, man. I've been on for 2 hours. What you got was Bible, and it's what you needed. But we'll talk about Scientology sometime. I just didn't get to it. But that's okay. So, the computer is being assembled now. Daryl's going to send me some pictures when he gets the rest of the stuff so he can assemble that. All right? Pastor, have you bought one of those sliding doors? No, I'm going to buy one of those sliding doors. You're talking about the one that goes in front of the... Let me show you the one that I saw that I liked. That I want to get. I haven't purchased it at all. Believe it or not, we've spent a lot of the money on everything. It's amazing how much everything costs, but we're getting everything in. God's providing everything. Let me show you what we got or what I'm looking at here. Hang on. I'll get there. This thing's working slow for some reason. Oh, my messenger doesn't want to pull up now. Come on. Let's see. It'll get there in a second, I guess. I want to show you that. Yep, I haven't talked about Jack Parsons, L. Ron Hubbard, their work on Babylon, The Spirit, Aleister Crowley. I know the role, believe me. Well, I'll try to send it another way. For some reason, everything's locking up on me here. Let me send it another way. Oh, I know how to send it. Let's see. Hang on a second. I'll get it. I'll show you the one that's really cool that I like, that I think it'll look really nice. Here it is, right here. Check that out. don't know if you can see it. Let me, there you go. That's what it is right there. I took a picture of it and I thought, man, that thing is really nice. So that would maybe cover up the window there so I could have a window in there and then it would cover that up. Okay. That's what it is. Somebody asked me that. So that's what it is. That's what I want to put in there. Something like that, basically. That's the one we're hoping to put in there. Lord willing. Anyway, thank you for, sliding barn door. That's what we want to cover the window with that's going to be there. So I can keep a window in and I can look, you know, outside when it is nice, when I'm not recording. So anyway, you pray for the Lord to continue to provide for us. Thank you to everybody for, number one, your prayers, and number two, giving and helping us in all our endeavors here. We appreciate that. If you want to give to our ministry, you can do that by going to PayPal, and you can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com or pastorcooley@icloud.com. Some people give Apple Pay through Apple Pay. Some people give through Bitcoin or Ethereum or any of those other cryptocurrencies. We do have a way for that. Or you can mail us something right here. So praise the Lord for all that have given and tried to help us and especially praying for us. We appreciate that and continue to pray because if God doesn't use you, he'll use somebody else. Okay? So that's okay. Pray that God uses somebody else to help us with that. We've got finishing touches and other things to finish up with the work that we're doing. This week we'll be doing a lot of that. So you pray for us. I appreciate it. You know, there's going to be a few lights and different things that we're going to have to get set up. Studio lights we're going to have to buy, a few things like that. I think most of our recording stuff we have, most of that stuff. So I appreciate, you know, the help with that. And then we're just going to need some odds and end things. I need to get panel. I got to buy some panel board for the background. And we're going to actually build a table. Lord willing, we're going to build a table for the front table that we're going to use. So we'll have to get all those supplies and all that fun stuff. But the Lord provided, though. It was $270 worth of this Tyvek wrap type stuff that we're using to wrap up to insulate some things. And we got blessed to find that. I found it for $150. And it'll be more than enough for the project even. And we'll be able to use it on the other side of the wall to keep the warm air in and everything. So God provided that, and we're grateful for that. That saved us $150. So what a blessing that is. God has really blessed us, and we'll have to rent an extractor to clean the carpet because we're going to lay it first and then clean it. And so we'll take some pictures this weekend of, you know, putting some things together. So you keep praying for us about that. And I don't know if I'll be back on Friday. I'm really not sure. I've got some appointments with my wife that we have to take care of, and I've got to pick up some things in the cities, and I've got to look at that. I got to maybe pick up that heating and cooling unit, that mini ductless split that we have to put in. So I got to pick that up. Praise the Lord, that was paid for too. And then the internet's getting hooked up this weekend possibly. So we really do need you know, the Lord's provision and care for all of that. And we appreciate all that you all do in your prayers and everything for us at this time. And just keep that in prayer, and we'll keep trusting the Lord for everything, and pray for one another. And by the way, again, before we forget, don't forget that I'm heading out May 6th. I'm heading out to Sedona area to the Grand Canyon and all that, and I'll be gone for about 2 weeks on vacation with my family. And so if you're on our way out there, we are going through Missouri. And if you're on our way out there, we'll be in Kansas, and then we're going to go straight west into Kansas. So if you're on our way out there, we'd love to meet up with you. All right? So if you can meet up with us, we'd love to meet you on the way out there. We're going that way out there, so let us know. We'll be staying in Kansas, and then we'll be staying all along that trail, all the way into, I think we're going to go by Santa Fe, New Mexico, and that route. So if you're anywhere near there, please let us know. We'd love to meet up with you and say hi to you and pray with you as we're on our way, okay? All right. Well, God bless you all. Take care. And Lord willing, we'll talk to you soon. Maybe Thursday I might do something. I don't know. It just depends. It'll be from, maybe I'll do it from the, maybe from the studio, even though the sound won't be that great. It'll be a little echoes, but that's okay. Maybe we'll do it from the studio at that.